Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey North Point, I hope that you're having an incredible day. No matter where you're watching from, whether you're at home or at work or you're watching in your car on your mobile, we want you to know that you are not alone. You are part of a community that is excited about your journey and wants to walk with you every step of the way. I want to really encourage you. If you need prayer, if you need to get connected, text us. Let us know. We are ready and excited to respond to you.
You know, and here at North Point, Destiny, we have a mission, and we like to say that mission together. Come on, why don't you say it with us right now?
Creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community.
And we are passionate about that mission, understanding that that mission is not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of work. And that's why we really moved into this year in 2021 saying this is our year of application.
Yes.
Because there are some things that we know we're going to have to put into operation if we're going to see that mission come to pass. And we've started this year not with a series of messages, but really a season of messages around our house habits, because we believe that our house habits serve as the pillars that hold up that mission. They're what make the mission possible. And so we've kind of started in with what we say are, you know, our 12 house habits, but our first four are relational habits. They're really about community, us doing life together. And now we've moved into the second four, and these are our transformational habits, right? This is where we see that growth. When we're talking about we lean in, right, and we say that that is the posture to progress,
yes,
right? We talk about we grow intentionally. That's our mindset for progress. And then we get into we embrace discipline, which we talked about last week. And we talk about that's the cost or the practice of progress. And today we're going to get in and talk about we practice honesty.
We practice honesty. And Philip, you always say that being 100% gut level honest with yourself is the hardest thing that you will ever do in your life.
Yeah.
Being 100% gut-level honest with yourself is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. And I think that's incredibly true. You know, we see that in our kids from the time that they're really little, but you can probably see that in your everyday life. We always want to put a spin on it. We always want to make ourselves come out looking better than really what our intentions are. But if we're just really honest, it's not always the way that we are saying it was. And, you know, when you're working with kids, it's so hard to get them to see that, to go, man, honesty is important. Yeah. Telling the truth is important, but also just being honest about what's going on in your life, who you are, your motivations, and really just all those little things that people can't see clearly.
Yeah.
You know, one of our kids cut her hair at one point. What was pretty easy to see what the truth was. There was no reason to really hide that.
No.
She didn't have to practice honesty.
Yeah.
She just, you know, told the truth. But then there's other things like, why did you speak to your sister that way? Why did you say that about your brother? That requires them to look on the inside and learn how to be honest. But that's for all of us. We all have to learn how to be honest.
And that's why we say we practice honesty, right? Because we really do the dual use of that word practice, right? Because we do want to put honesty into practice, meaning we want to put it into action, right? We want that execution in our life. But then honesty also takes practice, right? It takes the repetition, right? And we've got to work to get better at actually being honest with ourselves. And as we've talked through these transformation habits, honesty is what makes these other transformational habits possible.
So good.
And it's not just what makes it possible, it's also what allows us to keep transforming.
Yes.
Because without honesty, we can't move at the rate that we really want to move. Let's just go back through and let's talk through these habits real quick. Because if we're not honest about our lean, right? If we're not honest about our posture, you know, we did a whole message about leaning out, right?
Right.
Well, if we're not honest about, are we leaning in with the right attitude? Or are we leaning out with the wrong attitude? Or when we talk about, are we growing intentionally? What is our mindset? If we're not honest about our mindset,
right,
we're not going to be getting the right results.
Absolutely.
And then go into discipline. If I'm not honest about my discipline, am I really embracing that discipline in my life right now?
Right.
If I'm not doing those things, then I'm not going to be improving. And I think this is just a great illustration that I always use whenever we're talking about this. And that is, whether you're in a museum or a mall, you're in a big place. And you go to the directory, right? Like the old school, right? The old school directory, the big map, right? You go up there. The most important thing on that map, it's not the store that you're looking for.
No.
It's not the painting or the area that you're trying to get to. It's the little red dot.
That's right.
That says, you are here. Because if you don't know where you are, you cannot get to where you want to go.
It's true.
And this is why honesty is so vitally important, because we have to be honest about where we are, what we're really thinking, what we're really feeling, how we're really behaving.
Right.
We have to be honest about these things so that we can move to where we want to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just the linchpin or the important part for transformation, but it's also really vital to connection, to community.
That's true.
It's incredibly important to mission.
Wow.
Because how are you going to evaluate if you're moving forward in your mission if you're not honest? And then even when it comes to community, you know, building off of your red dot example, you and I share locations on our phones so that I don't have to text you all the time and ask, where are you? I can just go, oh yeah, he's on his way back from the donut shop, because that's very important when you're 25 weeks pregnant. You need donuts. And so, you know, I can kind of see that. But if that location isn't updated, if you're not honest about where you are, it's hard for me to get to you.
Wow.
And I'm going to be responding to you in a way that maybe I shouldn't be responding to you, because you've said you're here, but really you're here.
So
true. You know, you've said you're okay, but really you're not.
Yeah.
You've said that didn't hurt your feelings, but really it did.
Yeah.
And now I'm building my whole connection and my whole relationship with you, and we're wondering why we're having a hard time protecting unity, why we're having a hard time, you know, loving big, why we're having a hard time doing all these things. And a lot of times it comes down to, I'm not being honest with myself, which means that I can't be honest with others.
Wow.
And now others are responding to what really is my dishonesty.
Wow.
And they're not giving me what I need, and they're not meeting my needs.
No.
And I'm feeling more alone, and I'm feeling more isolated, but they can't change because I refuse to be honest.
Mm.
And so that's why we talk about it. We practice honesty, that we have to put it into daily practice.
Absolutely.
Because we want to have community and we want to have transformation.
Well, even a few weeks ago, you know, we went through that transformation process,
right?
That what you're believing impacts your being.
Absolutely.
Your being influences your behaving, right? And how you're behaving determines the life that you be having. Behaving, be having, right? The life that you're building, right? So we see this transformation. Well, Destiny, if we're not honest about what we've built, if we're not honest about the behaviors in our life,
right,
if we're not honest about the core of our being, honest about the condition and the state of our soul and our thoughts,
right,
if we're not honest about the beliefs that we have adopted, man, it gets very hard to walk through a transformation process.
Absolutely.
So we see that honesty is vital for our growth journey. Now, which brings up a question. So why is it so hard for us to be honest?
Because it hurts. It hurts. It just does.
Yeah.
honesty hurts. It hurts to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It hurts to be open.
Yeah.
It hurts to admit those gaps in our heart.
Mm.
It really, really hurts. And that's why we talk about starting with being honest with yourself.
That's right.
Is because if you can admit some honest things to yourself.
Yeah.
And you can push past that self-deception, right? Then you can start on the journey of finding the trusted people in your life that you can be honest with. It's, because you don't need to just, you know, tell everybody everything. But yeah. At the same time, you've got to have people in your life that you're sharing honesty
with. That's right.
With. And you know, Philip, when we aren't honest with ourselves, it's easy to focus on the issues that other people have.
Absolutely. So then what do we do? If you just said, why do we not be honest? Because it hurts, right?
Right.
Well, the opposite of that is that it's easy, right? So it's easy to blame and complain.
Yes.
It's easy to blame others and complain about stuff, right? But what that does is it takes our thinking off of the one thing that would change everything.
Right.
That's ourselves.
Yes.
Right? We find that it's easy to judge and to criticize.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more I judge and criticize others
right.
for their actions,
so good.
The less time I have to sit and think about my own actions and what I need to do
so
to
good.
Change that. It's easy to talk about what other people should be doing.
Yes.
It's way easier to do that. This takes my mind off the fact that I know that I'm not doing everything that I need to be doing.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to think about that.
No.
I know how I should be behaving. I know the commitments I made that I'm not keeping. I know those things. But man, it's so much easier to say, but you know what they should be doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just makes ourselves feel better.
You know,
we
totally.
Talk about that here. You know, we build our church and our life off of the Good Samaritan story. And the Good Samaritan story starts with someone who is trying to justify themselves by trying to figure out who is my neighbor.
Yeah.
Really, the question is who's not.
Right. Who's not my neighbor.
So trying to justify.
Yeah.
But then the next person in the story is the priest and the priest's assistant who walks around the person who's hurt. And why do they do that? It's because they're judging their neighbor.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to just look at somebody who's hurting and say, so glad I'm not that person, rather than looking at your own heart. And that's not who we want
to be. And Jesus many times, you know, talks about this human tendency, right?
Absolutely.
This human tendency to focus on other people's problems while ignoring or excusing our own.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. He says, do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
Man, and if honesty is this important.
Yeah.
And if Jesus felt like it was this important,
that's
what he's talking about.
That's
he's
right.
saying, start with you.
That's right.
You know, we always say that. Mission starts with you. Transformation starts with you. Community starts with you.
Yeah.
The journey always starts with you. It always starts with me.
Yeah.
Then it's worth us working out what it is we need to do in order to be honest. And so we've just written down three keys to honesty.
Right.
Three keys to honesty. Things that you're going to have to settle in your heart along that journey, because it is a journey.
It is a journey.
It is a process of learning to be honest with
yourself. That's why we say practice, right?
That's
these
right.
are things that you've got to put into practice. You've got to try these things and practice these things to get good at these things. And so we talk about these keys to honesty. And the first key is this. I have issues.
Yes, you do. I mean,
I'm sorry. Said that so quick there.
No, like we all have issues.
We all have issues. Thank you for clarifying
I
that.
Have issues.
Yes, but that is the first key is I have issues. And I think we can just, we take this straight out from the truth of the word.
Absolutely. This was one of my mom's favorite scriptures to teach us when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Because it helps you just understand that you are not always right. Mm. It's Jeremiah 17:9a, and it says this, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked."
Wow.
Now, the way that we memorized it was the
King James.
Was King James probably. But it was the heart above all things is wicked.
Yeah.
You know, we think that our heart is this or that, but if we don't understand that at the core, we are fallen, and that without Christ, we stay that way.
Yeah.
And even with Christ, it is a process to move us from death to life, to move us into the abundant life. And so practicing honesty starts with realizing and accepting,
yes,
I am imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
I make mistakes.
Yeah.
I have blind spots.
Yeah.
There's things that I don't see.
Yeah.
I have deaf spots.
So
sometimes
true.
There's things I don't hear in the room. I don't have the full picture. Mm. So many times we're so quick to judge others because their picture looks full and ours still, we're just not completely sure.
So
and
true.
Well, you just don't understand my mom and all these different things, but I don't have the full picture.
No.
About what's going on. I'm not fully aware yet of everything that's going on. And I am a work in progress. And when we acknowledge that we have issues, then something wonderful happens.
Yeah.
Because I'm not surprised or thrown off when I make mistakes.
That's right.
I'm not surprised or thrown off when I am imperfect. I'm not surprised or thrown off when I realize there's a motivation in my heart that's really wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not who I want to be. But there's also another side of it.
Yeah. And then that is that I'm not thrown off when other people suggest that I have made a mistake.
It's huge.
When other people suggest that I might be wrong, right? I'm not thrown off because I have this understanding. I have admitted and acknowledged I have issues.
Absolutely. And so many times we're defensive from criticism because it's attacking who we are as a person.
Yeah.
We're like, wait, I don't have issues. Wait, this isn't what's going on? Instead of going, well, maybe, let me evaluate that for a second. Maybe I did think that. Maybe that was. And really allowing that possibility to open us up to perhaps they aren't 100% correct, but perhaps that criticism has 10% of truth to it that could help open up my eyes and help me to be more honest with myself.
Well, I think King Solomon said it best in Proverbs 12:15. He says, "A fool is in love with his own opinion, but wisdom means being teachable."
I think you need to say that one again.
I would love to say that one again. "A fool is in love with his own opinion, but wisdom means being teachable." You see, if I ever begin to feel like I see everything clearly, if I ever begin to feel like my perspective is not flawed, if I ever begin to feel like my opinions are always the best, then I am in trouble of sitting in the seat of the fool instead of sitting in the seat that I am intended to sit in, and that is the seat of humility.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, we have to remember what Jesus said.
Yes.
He said, "You're going to be judged by the same standard that you use." If there is anything that should put us in the seat of humility, it is the words of Jesus saying, "Hey, the way you judge others is going to be the way that you are going to be judged." So if that is true, should I not realize that I have issues?
Wow.
Therefore, live in humility, understanding that other people are going to have issues as well. But that's hard for me to come to grips with if I don't start with this truth. I have issues, not a issue. I have issues, plural.
Right, absolutely. And so we have to understand I have issues, and then we have to understand that it hurts. It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah.
One, my issues hurt.
Yeah.
The issues that I have caused pain
yes.
in my life.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the reason we don't want to face that is just because it hurts just to acknowledge the issues we have.
Yeah.
We hate the fact that we've treated our friend this way. We hate the fact that we've treated our sister or our mother or father in a specific way. Yeah. We hate the fact that we've treated our spouse or our kids in a certain way. Mm. And we go, ah, it hurts to even look at those issues. But it also hurts to deal with those issues.
It does.
Because there's a natural resistance to changing, progressing, becoming, and dealing with our issues.
You know, it's just like that. Anything where you're trying to grow, right? You're talking about resistance in the gym. That's what getting stronger is. It's the resistance, right? We have Juju, who is 7, and she loves being put through a little home workout, right?
Loves
Man, she does the sit-ups and the crunches and the push-ups and all the things. And we put her through this, and man, I put her through the toughest one that she's been through just a couple weeks ago, man. We really cranked it up. And the thing that I love about Juju, we always finish with a long plank. You know, she's on her elbows and and I can see her body shaking. I mean, I can see her arms and her legs and her back. She is shaking, but she will not go down. She will not surrender until I count it down. 10, 9, 8. And as soon as I hit 0, man, boom, she goes down. But I love it. But what is happening is that resistance.
So good.
Right, that resistance. And you know what that resistance does? It hurts.
It does hurt.
Man, it hurts when you realize I am weaker than I thought. Why is this hurting me so bad? But it's the process. It is so vital to our growth.
Vital.
But we have to know that it hurts. Because if we don't know that it hurts, we're going to quit at the first sight of pain.
Absolutely.
We're going to bail out because we're like, I don't know.
Right.
But when we understand that honesty is going to hurt, on this growth journey, it's going to hurt. Then whenever I feel the pain, I'm like, okay, I'm not surprised by it. I'm not going to be thrown off by it.
Yes.
I'm going to embrace this because I knew that being honest was going to hurt.
And acknowledging that it hurts really does help.
Yes.
Just acknowledging that it hurts. Our oldest daughter, and we are in the season of marriage and kids, and so a lot of our examples are totally about our children.
Yeah.
But I think they connect really to every season of life. But our oldest daughter is 10 years old. Can't believe that.
Yeah.
But she's absolutely wonderful. She also hates admitting when she's wrong. And I mean hates it with all of her heart. And so we have.
Haven't you said she's like her dad before?
You know, I wasn't going to bring that up.
Okay, well,
if you decide to say that, and she's just like you. But anyway, she hates to admit that she's wrong.
Yeah.
And so we have kind of this pattern now where I go, okay, so this is what happened and you were wrong. And she's like, I did that, yes. And I'm like, but you were wrong.
Mm.
Like, can you say that? Can you say I was wrong? And she'll go, I was wrong. And we both laugh and I go, man, that hurts, doesn't it? And she's like, more than you know. It's so hard.
It's so true.
For her personality, but I really think it is for
everybody.
Just to admit when we're wrong.
Because that it's so ugly, right? It's so unwanted. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to face these truths, right? It really hurts. And not only do we not want to face the ugliness of that, we're also facing the fact that now we got to do something about that.
Right. That tension.
Man, we're going to have to change it, right? Like, man, so not only do we confront and being honest about what is there, now we got to be honest about what we're going to have to do to fix that, to change that, to break through in that area. But I think, you know, whenever we just realize that it hurts, I think it takes us into this prayer that David prayed, right? As he was praying in Psalm 139. And it allows us to understand this and it lets it make sense because this was David's prayer. He said, search me, O God. Now, notice he said, search me. Not search my neighbor, not search my spouse. He says, God, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This is such a beautiful thing to say. I know God's going to point out some things that are ugly.
Yes.
Some things that I wish weren't there. Absolutely. Some things that I wish I did not have to deal with.
Right.
But David understood the power of this prayer. Mm-hmm. God's going to point it out what offends him. He's going to point out what's holding me back. He's going to point out the lids that are on my life. He's going to point out the lies that I have believed. God's going to point out those things, but for the purpose of leading me down this pathway of life.
Absolutely.
Of everlasting life, eternal life, and abundant life. But if we do not pray that honest prayer and do not do the honest evaluation, then what we miss out on is what David prayed for, this life, right?
Absolutely.
This everlasting life, this abundant life. And so once again, honesty playing such a vital part of this growth journey, because I've got to be honest about what's there and what I need to do to get what I really want. And that is life.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Bible talks about that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And, and that brings us to the third key, which is, yes, I have issues.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
Yeah.
And I need help.
Oh.
I need
help.
You know, when you get something in your eye, it's really hard to get it out without help.
Yeah.
You either need a mirror or you need a person.
Yeah, that's right.
To be able to help you get something out of your eye. I mean, you know, every once in a while you can kind of feel around and rub it and get it out. But if you really have something stuck in your eye, you're going to need a mirror or you're going to need a helper or you're going to need both.
Yes.
To be able to get it out. And really, when we look at the Word of God, the Bible is described as a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
God's words are described as a mirror. But you know, the Holy Spirit also is a mirror for us.
Yep.
Because the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth.
Yes.
That's what the Holy Spirit does.
So good.
And so when we look at that, we go, man, we've got this incredible mirror. But if it doesn't help to have a mirror if we don't use a mirror. You know, it doesn't help to have that if you don't actually.
Well, you know,
use
what
it.
I like to say is that, you know, you're not changed by what you have access to. You're changed by what you allow to access you. And that's the truth is like you have access to the Word and you have access to the Holy Spirit. Jesus has made this available, right? That the Holy Spirit can live in the inside of us, all of these things. But if you don't let that access you and search you,
right?
You know, like it's not just we read the Bible. We let the Bible read us.
Come on,
right?
So good.
And that's where we really find the benefit in the Word of God and in the Holy Spirit, letting it be that mirror, letting it give us a true and honest reflection. And so we have the Bible and the Holy Spirit as the mirror. But Destiny, we also have the community.
Community.
The body of Christ, the church, other people, right, as our helper.
Yes.
And these things work together.
They do. And we can go all throughout the Bible and see that. You know, if you look in the Old Testament, it says iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
In other words, when you're around other people who are trying to go the same place that you're going and
who
are believing the same things that you're believing, they're going to sharpen you and help you to get better. The Bible also talks that our leaders within the church are given to us to help us grow into maturity. God gives us leaders. God gives us people who can help us on that journey. And then it also talks about just being in community and what that community will do to help you grow on your journey.
And then Acts 2:42, this kind of been one of our main scriptures for this year as well. It says, you know, it's talking about the birth of the early church. And what were those Jesus followers devoted to?
Right.
They were devoted to the apostle teaching, which is the word. They were devoted to prayer, internal inspection. And then they were devoted to fellowship, to community, to relationship, and to communion, taking the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. They were committed to those things because it takes all of that to really have the growth that we really want.
Absolutely. And so we have to invite, but we have to choose to invite.
Yeah, that's
invite
right.
Invite people in to help us with the logs that are in our eye, to give us perspective. If you're not practicing honesty with yourself, it's really hard to invite people in because you don't believe you have issues. You know, I can always tell when somebody's asking me for an evaluation, but what they're really looking for is confirmation that they don't have any issues. But there's a big difference when somebody comes and says, hey, I really need you to speak truth into this situation, and I need you to give me a perspective that I don't have.
Yeah.
That's an incredible moment and opportunity for growth for that person.
Yeah, and I think you bring up something important because this practicing honesty, it is meant to be done in relationship. Let's go back to what Jesus said, right? He said, get the speck out of your friend's eye.
That's big.
Right? Like we can't overlook that because this is supposed to be done in relationship because I can't help people that don't want help. I'm not going to be able to challenge your belief system or do anything if we don't already have some relational equity, if we don't already have relationship. We see this on Facebook, right?
Right.
People are shouting over the fence at one another, right? And there's no relationship. And it's like, that's not going to, you've got a speck in your eye. You're not seeing anything. And it's just going back and forth. And nobody's ideas or opinions or perspectives are being changed at all because Jesus gives us the key.
Right.
It's just to be done in relationship. And when I admit that I have a log in my eye and I get honest about that and I start doing the work in here, then I can help a friend because the friend has seen me.
Right.
The friend has seen me do the work. The friend knows that I'm processing through. And then I have this relationship where I can say, hey, I want to help you with maybe a blind spot that you didn't even know was there.
Absolutely. And I think there's also this whole deal of not just deflecting from your issues, like we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because we all have issues, it hurts, and we need help.
Yeah.
But in order to avoid that pain, our motivation can be to just avoid our pain when we're talking to somebody else about their issues.
Yes.
And so we're not going to have the proper perspective to be able to even help them.
So good.
We're not going to have the proper perspective or motivation to be able, and so it just comes off really cynical and really judgmental really very thoughtful. But when we've gone through that process with ourselves, we start to have the proper perspective to begin practicing honesty with others.
Because, we gain that understanding and grace, right? Like, I've got to have understanding and grace for my own issues when I admit that. Well, that allows me to have understanding and grace for others.
And I think it works a lot, you know, in close relationships.
Yeah.
It's a great kind of example, whether it's a spouse relationship or even when it's a boss employee relationship or whatever. When you're more aware of your own issues, you're more willing to approach the issues of the other person with grace.
That's so true.
It's just really true because you're not bringing it from the perspective of you're the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not just you're the problem.
Yeah.
It's I have something to learn here too.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect because you're not. But at the same time, it gives me a different perspective and I have a different tone and I start a different place because, you know, we build relationships through questions, not statements. We build relationships through questions, not conclusions.
Mm.
And I think that when we're talking about practicing honesty, a lot of times the first thing that we think about doing is going out and telling someone something.
Yeah.
Rather than asking some questions.
Yes.
You know, I hear all the time, I can't understand how anyone could think that.
Mm.
And my internal response is, have you asked them?
Wow.
Because very rarely do we just go to somebody and say, hey, I truly want to understand the best argument for your point of view. I really want to understand your thinking.
Wow.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to tell you my perspective. I just really want to understand. Can you help me to understand?
Mm.
But that's how relationship is built.
Yeah.
Because if I'm willing to listen to your perspective fully, it may open up a blind spot in my life. I'm not saying you're going to change my mind completely. Right. I'm not saying that I'm going to convert to a completely different worldview. That's not what I'm saying at all. The Bible is the truth. This is the truth.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm going to build a relationship and I'm going to be able to understand more about this world that we're in. And I'm also going to be able to understand more about my limited perspective.
Yes.
Because no matter who we are, we have a limited perspective because there are 8 billion people on the planet.
That's right.
Many of whom have different experiences and different views and different ideas than you and have had a different way of encountering the world. And we can learn from each other, but only if we're willing to do the hard work of beginning to practice honesty, of admitting, man, I have issues.
Yes.
And I'm not even probably fully aware of what all of them are.
That's true.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, that's that cycle that we had talked about.
Absolutely. You know, it keeps coming back. I'm more aware today of issues than I was 5 years ago.
Absolutely. When we have our awareness and it leads us to evaluate and then it changes our practice.
Yeah.
And then the more that we practice honesty, the more aware we'll become, the more that we'll be able to evaluate. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. And the more that I'm aware of what I'm not aware of.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more I have grace to be able to enter into relationship. And when I enter into relationship, that's where that two-way flow of honesty can come back and forth.
Yeah.
And we can both benefit and we can both grow in our journey.
Yeah, you know, Jesus was talking about that log in your eye. Like don't focus on the speck until you do something with the log. And what Jesus was saying is that you have a cloudy vision, right?
That's right.
Like you have some blind spots. You're not seeing everything complete and whole. And we need to really just embrace that truth. And here's what we need to do. We need to use the Word of God as a mirror. We need to get in community. But you know what also we need? We need Jesus to come and heal those places.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes the things that we're not seeing clearly is a lot based off of the pain that's happened in the past.
Without a doubt.
We've had experiences and we've been hurt and we have these regrets. There are things in our life that have put these logs in our eyes that have caused us not to see God clearly for who He is.
Absolutely.
To see others the way that God wants us to see them. And so what we need to do is we get the Word and the mirror and we let the Holy Spirit do its work and we bring other people into the journey to help us, give us wisdom and insight so that we can grow and move forward. But Jesus needs to come in, the great healer.
That's right.
The one who opened the eyes of the blind.
Yes.
And we need to say, Jesus, I want you to touch my eyes. Yes. I want you to heal my vision because I want to see what you want me to see.
Absolutely. You know, I just love the fact that Jesus uses this whole metaphor of you can't see clearly, knowing who He is and who He was.
That's right.
Knowing that He regularly healed those blind people.
That's right.
Knowing that He was completely capable of doing that. And I just love that because He really always is the answer.
Mm.
Jesus always is the answer. Mm. And He's shown us the path. We're to follow Him in community.
Yeah.
We're to follow Him in community. Does that mean that you have to go and sit in a church building every Sunday? Not necessarily, but you need to be gathering with believers somewhere at some point
That's
on
right.
a really regular basis.
Yeah.
You need to be allowing people into your life.
Yeah.
You need to have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit operational in your everyday so that you can practice honesty with yourself. So that you can speak the truth in love with others. Well, we're ending every single talk that we're giving right now with our lead. And I love this way of taking everything that we're learning and putting it into action. You know, Philip, I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm doing this for books that I'm reading and podcasts and all kinds of different things. It's such a helpful process.
Well, you know, we say if we're going to lead ourselves well, or if we're going to lead others well, right, we got to lead ourselves well. And so if we're going to lead ourselves, well, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then are we doing it again and again, putting it in a process? And our learn for today, what is our takeaway, is this: being honest with yourself is an essential part of transformation. And it is a really difficult, lifelong process. It's not a moment.
No.
It's not a season. It is a lifelong process, and it is, you know, it, we could say maybe when you practice, it gets a little bit easier, but it never gets easy.
No.
Right? It might get a little easier. You might get in a little bit more of the habit, a little bit more of the routine, but it is not easy to be honest with yourself, but it is essential for our transformation.
And so our evaluation this week is, where are you the most judgmental?
Mm.
Now, that may seem like a strange place to start, but often where you're the most judgmental is also the place where you have the biggest issues. blind spots. Or you have the most issues.
So true.
And so where are you the most judgmental? Where do you find yourself completely unable to give any kind of grace? Where does that kind of come up where you dehumanize people who are like that?
Yeah.
Where are you the most judgmental? And then the second question is, where do you have the most difficulty being honest?
Mm.
Where do you have the most difficulty being honest? Another way to phrase this might be, where are you the most defensive?
Wow.
Where are you the most defensive? Where do your emotions jump up if people even start to touch that issue or say that phrase, even if it's unrelated to you? What is it that causes you to go off?
Yeah.
And so if we know that honesty is an essential part of transformation, right, and that it's a really difficult lifelong process, then these questions are things that we need to ask today, for sure. We need to ask this week. But we're really going to have to ask these questions for the rest of our life.
Yeah. Which, you know, leads us to the application. And our application is, set aside 5 minutes each day this week for honest evaluation. And when we talk about those 5 minutes, this is what I encourage you to do. To go through that prayer that David prayed. Search me, O God. Where I take my mind off of what's wrong with everybody else and I say, God, search me. Test me. Is there any anxious thoughts in me? Is there anything in me that would offend you? Have I believed a lie? Do I have something that's off on the inside of me? And allow the Holy Spirit to do a work to illuminate. You know, it's amazing when you ask this question and you go on this journey, the Holy Spirit will just bring some things up. And it's like you weren't thinking about it, but then all of a sudden, boom, it's just right there in your face. And it's like, oh man, I didn't even know that was there.
Right.
And all of a sudden now that awareness that we talked about, that awareness comes up. Now I can begin to evaluate that and then begin to put something else in practice. But those things don't happen. If we don't take these 5 simple minutes to do a self-evaluation. And I can promise you, if you will do that 5 minutes every day this week, just take those moments, ask God to search you, to test you. Is there any anxiety? Is there any fear? Is there any worry? Is there any selfishness? Is there any greed? Is there anything that would offend God? Why? Because you want to get on that pathway to life, to the abundant life that God has for you. And then we close out that lead with do it again. Because as we've said, this never stops. The process, the practice of being honest, it never stops. And we need to do it again and again and again. Destiny, will you pray today?
Absolutely. God, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray for every person that is listening right now. God, I pray that you would begin to speak to their hearts in thoughts about areas where they need to be more honest. I pray that they would embrace this concept that they have to practice honesty, that it's not just natural, that none of us are just honest people who don't have to grapple with this, but we all have to practice honesty. And Lord, I pray for those who don't know you today. Maybe they're watching this and they kind of go, okay, well, you're saying that Jesus can do this for me, but I'm not sure what that looks like. Lord, I pray that right now that they would choose to take the first step with you of just saying, okay, I'll follow you. I will follow you. Lord, I thank you that you can meet them exactly where they are. And Lord, I thank you that you're already speaking and doing more than we even know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for joining us this week, and we hope that you'll be back next week as we move into the next
four areas of our habits.
So excited about it. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.